You might have noticed that I decided to focus in the summer on various different topics I think that are important. If you have any suggestions or any requests, I can try to accommodate. We'll put Eitan in charge of making a list for me, so anybody has any requests for any specific topic, if I can handle it, I'll certainly try. This week's parasha, Kadoshim Tiyuki, Kadoshim Yashem Lokechem. You have the famous Ramban that talks about the context of the concept of a novel which is Torah. That one can fulfill all the mitzvot of the Torah and fulfill halacha to the T, and deal and fulfill all the minutiae of the Torah, and nevertheless you can be what's called a novel b'shus haTorah. How would you translate a novel b'shus haTorah?
Impure with the consent of Torah.
What?
An immoral person in the bounds of halacha.
Yeah.
Immoral, we agree. Immoral person in the bounds of halacha, well, we all agree. No. Wrong. You knew that, it was just a setup. I'm really nasty. No, I mean, you're right, but you're wrong. The Ramban has three different similar concepts, and all that go in the exact same direction and the exact same point. In other words, you have halacha, the letter of the law, all the things that you have to do, and then you have the spirit of the law. He has it in three different areas. He has it in Kedoshim to you. He has it by Vasita Tayashava Tov Be'nei Hashem, and he has it regarding Shabbaton. And I'm going to explain all three. Kedoshim Tiyu, the examples that the Ramban gives of somebody who's a novel B'shus HaTorah, is for instance somebody that wakes up in the morning, davens Vatikin, big tzaddik, right after Vatikin, he goes, he gets drunk, he does nothing all day, and you know, it's talking about somebody who, I mean, yeah, I think you said impure.
Yes.
I think that was closer. You're talking about someone who's not Kadosh. Somebody who is not striving, not aspiring for Kedusha. Kedoshim Tiyuk, Kedoshim Yishom HaKechem says that the spirit of the law, now you have a lot of different halachas. You have Shabbos, and you have Tefillah, and you have Kriyashma, and you can do, you have Tefillah, and you can do all the mitzvahs, and kind of all the mitzvahs, and nevertheless be somebody who has no aspiration towards Kedusha. What's the point of all these laws? Although the point of it was simply a mechanical action, there's a wonderful quote in a sefer called Chovos Halavavos. Who wrote Chovos Halavavos?
Rabbeinu
Bachya, right? Chovos Halavavos. You know why it's called Chovos Halavavos? Because there he talks about Chovos Ha'ivarim and Chovos Halavavos. That there are mitzvos that one does with their hand, but is our worship of God only things that we do, only the mechanical performance? Isn't there a chovos halavavos as well? Aren't there things that have to that you have to aspire to? Aren't there certain kavanos that we have to have? And when we say kriya shma, do we say the words or do we mean something by it? So when the Ramban talks about kedoshim tiyu and that there be a nevel b'shus haTorah, he's talking about somebody who is not aspiring for kedusha. He's not trying to make his life holy. He's not trying to uplift himself in a spiritual sense. So when he talks about a novel b'shus haTorah, he's talking about somebody who is very, very unspiritual. Somebody who might do all the halachos in the book, but he's not a spiritual person. He's not striving for spirituality. And therefore the Ramban says, forget, you know, you have all these halachos, you have to be mekayem all the halachos. But there's one big unwritten halacha. There's something that all these halachas are trying to be a blueprint in order that we should live our lives and to try to attain a life of Kedusha. And if you're not trying to attain a life of Kedusha, then you're kind of missing the point. Not that it's not important, but there's something that you're missing. And therefore Ramban says, let's not only look at the letter of the law, let's look at the spirit of the law as well. He says the same thing applies within the context of ethics. But there he takes a different pasuk. The pasuk in the Devarim says, "Vasisa asayah shavatov." That aside from all the different halachas that you have that try to tell us how to behave regarding your fellow man, there's an overriding and overarching idea, and that's "Vasita yashavatov." There are dinim of lashon hara and lo te'achrachil ba'amecha, and there's dinim of nezikin and dinim of mekachum bemkar, and there's dinim of ribis and all kinds of things that you have. But aside from all of that, Vasita Yashavato, The way they relate to people has to be in an ethical way. And you have to be sensitive to somebody else. So you have the same thing regarding Va'asita Yashva Tov within the context of ethics. The third area where the Ramban mentions this is much more limited in scope, but that's regarding Shabbos. He says that Shabbos, you have a lot of malachos. But what's the point of all these malachos? That it should be a day of Shabbaton, a day in which we rest and we... and in which we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and rested on Yom HaShvi'i. So you can, if you want, you can you don't do any of the malachos, but you can, you know, schlep, you know, heavy tables from the ground floor to the third floor, and you're not over on any Surim. You weren't over on Hotzah, you weren't over on Harisha, nothing. But is that a way to spend your Shabbos? He said a lot of what Chazal did when they introduced Malachos Mujabbanan, is in order that one, in order to make, you know, we talk about, you know, something, it's not Asr, but it's not Shabbistic, right? It sounds like it's something which is very, very Drabbanan, right? Not Shabbistic sounds Drabbanan. Rabban says it's Doraisa. The Shabbistic means that you have to have an Avira of Shabbos. If, you know, nowadays there's a lot of, you know, technological advance. You have Shabbos clocks, you can do anything that you want with electricity, almost. Halachically, you probably can do it. There's a tshuva in Rabbi Moshe. He says that basically you shouldn't, and it's a problem. But really, you know, according to many opinions, if you set the clock beforehand, I mean, you could spend, you know, your whole day watching movies on television. Of course, you'll go to shul, daven vatikin, you'll come back, you'll have, you know, shtei lechem, make kiddush quickly, and then watch movies. It'll be great, right? Sounds like fun. Years ago, when Somet was developing a phone that you can use on Shabbos, so they asked different rabbanim to give haskam, because they, you know, they'll come to a phone you can use on Shabbos, and all of a sudden there'll be, you know, tremendous outcry, and, you know, it's a terrible thing that you're doing. So we went to different rabbanim to ask, you know, to get a basically haskam for the, you know, to be able to make phones that you can use on Shabbos. And a lot of the rabbanim really said, no, it's a terrible thing, you really shouldn't do it. And when I once went to Menachem Avdor, Meir Shlesinger, who used to be the Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshivat Shalavim, so he told me a story. He said, you know, when Somet came to different Rabbanim to ask, all the Rabbanim came out against it. He asked Rav Aaron, and Rav Aaron said, wow, that's wonderful. I'll be able to call my father-in-law and discuss the parsha with him. You know, and the idea basically is, when you talk about technological advance, the question is not, is what you do with it. Right? Computers can be great and they can be terrible. Internet can be great and can be terrible. Right? You can Google tshuvas and get answers and find, you know, it can be a great thing. But you could also find terrible things on the internet. The question is what you do with it, right? When they came up with the printing press, I mean, till then, if they wanted a Sifrei Kodesh, people would be writing it, you know, out of hand. You had Kisfei Yad, and very, very few people had Gemaras, let alone Rishonim, and, you know, they just didn't exist. And basically, to any sefer had to be simply written, and there were a lot of mistakes made because it was simply being copied. And a lot of times, it was copied by people who had good handwriting but didn't stand the Rashba, and therefore you have all kinds of mistakes in the Rashba, the Ritva, etc., etc., because it was all written by hand. So the printing press was really a great innovation, and along with that, over the years, there have been many, many terrible things that have been printed as well. So the question is, what you do with it? So. What you have in these three areas is that basically there's an area of Kedusha. Kedoshim Tiyu. We should strive for Kedusha. Now Kedoshim also has a lot of ethical laws as well. But the idea of Kedusha is it some kind of a spiritual idea. A novel Bishus HaTorah is somebody who does not aspire to any spirituality. He might be Mekayim all the mitzvos, but he doesn't aspire to anything spiritual. That's Kedoshim to you. The Shabbason is somebody who, you know, is not over any of the malachos of Shabbos, midoraisa, but he has no experience of Shabbos. You know, and therefore doing something which is not Shabbistic is a contradiction to what the experience of Shabbos is. Shabbos is not simply not doing malacha. Shabbos is something, is a day in which you're supposed to also uplift yourself spiritually. But what I want to focus on today is really the third category. And that's the category of Va'asita Yashav Va'tov. That's the category of ethics. In other words, ethics is not only something which is defined by various different halachas. Ethics is something, Rav Lichtenstein many, many years ago wrote an article called "Is There an Ethic Independent of Halacha?" And he presented two different approaches. One approach is that by definition, doing what God said is ethical. Not doing what God said is unethical. Right? That ethical is defined by what God said. How are we to define what is ethical, what is not ethical? What is ethical is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says do this and you do it, you did something ethical. That's the ethical norm. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said don't do it and you do it, so you did something which is unethical. And that's a certain religious approach, which basically erases man. Rav Soloveitchik, quoting somebody, some Christian writer or philosopher, I don't recall who, quoted the pasuk by Avram, "Hashofet kol ha'aretz lo yaseh mishpat." When Avram argues kaviyachol with HaKadosh Baruch Hu regarding Sodom va'Amora, he says if there are 50 tzaddikim, 45 tzaddikim, 40, 30, 20, 10. So part of that argument, he says, you know, how can you kill a tzaddik in Russia? Half. Yispet tzaddik in Russia, hashofet kol ha'aretz lo yaseh mishpat. And that writer said that if the definition of tzedek and mishpat is doing what God commands, then it would make no sense to say hashofet kol ha'aretz lo yaseh mishpat. If this is the will of God, then by definition it's ethical. So if the will of God is to destroy Sodom va'Amora, that is ethical. If the will of God is not to destroy it, then it's not ethical. So what does it mean, hashofet kol ha'aretz lo yaseh mishpat, if mishpat simply is the will of God? And therefore the conclusion is that there is some kind of a concept of ethics that's objective. That's not simply a function of the will of God. Yes, we believe that the will of God aspires to attain ethics. And therefore we would hope to try to explain various different mitzvot and halachas in ways that it corresponds with our concept of ethics. But the concept of ethics is nevertheless something which is objective. You know, do we always know what is ethical, what is not ethical? We can argue about it, we can be wrong, we can be right. But that we have to aspire to something which is ethical and which is moral, that's something which is part of what God demands of us. When he says "Asita yashar v'tov," he wants us to do not only yashar and tov. Right? What is straight and also what is good? What is good? Who's to define good? So when man defines good, sometimes a problem, but we're supposed to do good, and the objective good, which is Ben Hashem Elokeh. But nevertheless, we try to do what is good. In other words, something that Rabbi Tal always said, not everything is halacha. There are things that, you know, we do because it's the right thing to do. One of the famous arguments between Rav Amital and Rav Lichtenstein. Have you heard this one already? What? What?
Stuck on Desert Island, Hagar.
Well, Desert Island, both. It could be a number of places. But the argument was, what happened when there's a conflict between halacha and ethics? Okay. Obviously, the conflict is not going to be, you know, an objective conflict, but there could be a certain situation where halacha demands one thing and ethics would demand something else. For instance, the argument was, what happens if somebody is, you know, stranded someplace and, you know, pikuach nefesh, he has to survive, and he has two options. He can either eat meat which is treif, or if somebody died, he can eat human flesh. Right? Regarding meat which is treif, there's a law, it's an isser. Regarding human flesh, there's a midmachok, among the rishonim. Whether it's only it's an isra say, or it's not isra at all, or whether there's what exactly is the isra of eating human flesh? So the reason that the Torah didn't ask for human flesh is because, you know, it's just out of the radar screen. It's not because it's okay. It's because it's out of the radar screen. But there's no explicit law regarding eating human flesh. You know, according to some, it's an isra say because it has, you know, zot habeim asher tochlu, so it's an isra aseh to eat human flesh because it's not included in the behema asher tochlu. It's a bit of a stretch. I think they're a little bit inventive in trying to understand why exactly, what's the isra in eating human flesh. Okay, it doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. It's the wrong thing. Why is it wrong? Because it's unethical. You don't have to aser it. It's something which is so abhorrent. The question is, what happens if you're in a situation where on the one hand you have the divine imperative that says you can't eat treif meat, on the other hand you have this overarching idea of ethics that says, this is something which is a toeva. What happens when there's a conflict between the two? Obviously, in normal situations, you don't do either. What happens if you're forced to do one or the other, and you're forced to choose? Which would be a better choice? So Rav Mital said, of course you eat the treif meat. And Rav Lichtenstein said, of course, said that, treif meat is an Isra Lav, and here there's no Isra Lav. If you have no choice, this is, I hope never to be in such a situation, but I think that, more or less, that's what he said. Famous argument between the two. And it's certainly an important argument. But what they both agree is that when it comes to ethics, so it's not only defined by the minutia of the halachic imperative. There's a concept of ethics that we have to try to attain to. To a certain extent, there's a, when we talk about, when we look at segments of society that view themselves as ethical, usually it's people that are humanistic, people that put man at the center, people feel this importance to the idea of Tzelem Elokim, the concept of Tzelem Elokim, that don't believe in God at all, that feel that Tzelem Adam is really what's important. People on the political left that are more sensitive to human rights, and usually people on the right, the political right, on the religious right, are much less sensitive to issues of ethics. And it has many, many ramifications. I don't want to give examples because that will only cause arguments. But in general, it's in a broad, non-accurate, stereotypical way, there's a lot of truth to that statement. And it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. It's terrible that people that consider themselves as Shomer Torah Mitzvos could do things which are so abhorrent from a moral perspective, and they could be viewed as good yidden because they're not Machal Shamos, because they give tzedakah. I mean, a few years ago there was this terrible case of this slaughterhouse. I mean, I'm sure you read about it more than me because it was in the States. I don't recall the details. What? I don't remember. What was going on there was very unethical. How many years did he get?
30.
What? 30 years.
Well,
and if you...
What?
Very legal limited money fraud, lots of unethical...
The fraud happened because they threw this huge penalty at him for stuff that he was not necessarily did, and then the biggest penalty was because of the fraud that he was supposed to pay for specific lawyers and different things that the judge had gotten him landed with in the first place.
I don't know. All I know is that if you read Yatid Ne'eman, there's this unbelievable tzaddik, right, that the American government he was presented as a tzaddik because he used to give a lot of money, and he was a from Yid, he had a long beard, he wasn't such a tzaddik. But if you only look at things from a religious perspective, he's a very, very big tzaddik. Somebody that's Machal Shabbos, so he's not religious. Somebody that's a frum guy, but he's a murderer, so he's religious, right? The way we think of things, right? There's something wrong with the way we think of religion. I mean, to the best of my knowledge, certainly, I mean, forget about a murder, right? Okay, that's already a little bit far-fetched if he's a murderer. But if he's a ganav, certainly will just, right? Well, that's only, you know, it's only in the Aseret HaDibros, so to know, well, that's okay. But Chal Shabbos, okay, that makes you not religious. In other words, we have this dichotomy in our mind. You know, and there are people that we consider religious because of that dichotomy, because Ben Adam Lamakom, he's fine, even though he can be a real, you know, criminal. I mean, there's somebody who's very, very unethical and very immoral, and it can be over on tons and tons and tons of Yisrei Doraisa, and that doesn't bother anybody. I mean, you had this fellow that was, from people that you know, are involved in drug running, in money laundering, in all kinds of unethical ways of getting organs from terrible victims in China. I mean, in my day growing up, so it was nursing home scandals where there were people that, you know, the conditions were terrible. People were taking money for people that had already been dead and they never reported them. And it was a terrible Chil Hashem. So, and everybody says when these things are found out about, oh, it's a terrible, terrible Chil Hashem. You know, in other words, it would be okay as long as nobody found out about it. Once you find out about them, that's already terrible. But isn't there something wrong with them, even if you don't find out? Is there something wrong because it doesn't, you know, that's not what Judaism is. That's not what Yahdus is. I think the importance of this awareness, one of the reasons it's so important, is because when I look at Am Yisrael and all the discrepancies that exist and all the tensions that exist within the Am, and I'm one of those strange people that consider people that are Chilonim still Jewish, right? I think they're still Jews, therefore they're our brothers. And I look for a common language in which I could talk with them, which is the language of the Torah. I think one of the best starting points is the language of ethics. There's a lot of common ground and a common denominator. And that appreciation that things which they hold to be holy, in quotation marks, are things which are grounded in the Torah, is a very good starting point in which they feel that yesh lam chelek b'Torah Yisrael. But to a certain extent, they feel that it's all lip service when they see so many cases. And again, it's unfair, because whenever you find a rabbi who does something bad, so it makes headlines. And there are many, many wonderful rabbis that do nothing wrong, and there are many wonderful Jews that do nothing wrong. But whenever somebody does something, it makes headlines. But part of the problem is whenever somebody, it makes headlines, and he's not rejected by the religious community. He's not viewed as being somebody who's unreligious just because he was over on tons and tons of Isurim. He's still considered to be religious because our mindset looks at religion as being only Bein Adam Lachavero, Bein Adam Lamako, not Bein Adam Lachavero. Once I tried to try to analyze what was unique about Avram. Why was he chosen? What made him the person to begin Knesset Yisrael? If you take a look at Chazal, so you know he was walking along in a world full of Avodah Zarah, and he saw, you know, a house burning, and he said, "Mi bal habira, how could it be that this world exists? There's no owner to the world." And I perfectly accept that Avraham Avinu was the first monotheist. At least he came to it from himself. He didn't get Hav Masorah from Shem and Aver, and he walked around and he came to an understanding of God. I accept that. But if you look at Sefer Bereishis, you're not going to really find much of Avram combating over the Avodah Zarah. If you want to look for what characterizes Avram in the Torah, it's Chesed. Who can Chesed Avram? It's Achnasas Orchim, it's Davening even for Stone Va'amora, it's... if you want to look for what characterizes Avram, the answer is Chesed. That's what his... one of his major characteristics. Okay, I accept Chazal. He also believed in God, I believe it. Otherwise, when Achkar Shmuel said Lech Lecha, he went to God. But is that the battle that he's battling? When he goes to... When he confronts Stone Va'amora, he says, oh, you're Avodah of Zarah, is that what he says? And if you take a look at the way Chazal described it, it was immoral. It was a very immoral place. You know, if you want to know one of the major, at least one of the major characteristics of Avram was that he was an Isha Chesed. So okay, except the Hagdara of Kierkegaard, he was also the knight of faith, but he was also the knight of morality. Do you have other people that believed in God? Yes, you did. You have Shem, you had Abraham, you have Noach. They weren't chosen. And there's one pasuk that tells us why Avraham Avinu was chosen. And it says, "Ki yedativ leman ashei tzaveh panav et beito acharav l'shmor derech Hashem l'asut tzedakah mishpat." So in that pasuk it says two things. It says l'shmor derech Hashem. It says l'asut tzedakah mishpat. So is derech Hashem tzedakah mishpat, or is it two different things? Derech Hashem and tzedakah mishpat. Okay, we can argue about it, but certainly that's one of the reasons. Ki yedativ. Why was he chosen? Why did I know him? Why did I choose him? Am I going to hide from Avram what I'm going to do to Stone Valmora? And from that pasuk, it seems that the reason that Avram was chosen as opposed to everybody else is because he was not only somebody who believed in one God, he was not only somebody who was over Hashem. He was not only somebody who strived for holiness, but he was somebody who realized that if he's going to worship Hashem, who's a Kel Chesed, then he has to act with Chesed in this world as well. Mahurachum, Afatayrachum. He was somebody who was able to combine morality and ethics together with religion. He had no separation. The Aser Sadim was according to Chazal, you have five which are Ben Adam Lachaber and five which are Ben Adam Lamach. The importance of both is critical. Because, in a primary way, because to worship God means to emulate God. And to emulate God is to emulate God who gives life to all of the world. The way I worship God is to do chesed to my fellow man. That's one of the ways of worshiping God. It's not that there's a separation of be a nice guy and also be a frum Jew. To be a frum Jew means to bring the word of God to this world. And the way that's done is with ethics. Therefore, the Ramban, when he says that, you know, when he talks about basically, there are two overarching ideas which go beyond the letter of the law. One is Kedoshim Tiyu, and the other is Vasita Yashar V'Tov B'nei Hashem. Where on the one hand, certainly, where we have to submit ourselves to the divine imperative, but on the other hand, we also have to look at the bigger picture. Because the Torah is interested in the greater idea as well. And certainly when there's no contradiction, you know, those have to be the guiding stars of our life. And on the one hand, it's certainly that we have to aspire to Kedusha. And what we're learning now about Kabbalah Solmach Shamayim and about Tefillah and about, you know, these are things that deal with Kedusha. Striving for Kedusha, to bring the word of God to this world, and people should turn to God, the source of faith, and to worship God and to accept Him as our Master. That's certainly part of it. But on the other hand, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world incomplete, and he wanted us to bring the Malchus Hashem to the world, it's also incomplete in a moral sense. And he wants us to make the world a more moral place to live, a more ethical place to live, because that's also the Word of God. And one way out the other is simply, it doesn't work. To be only ethical without being religious is not the Word of God. To be only religious without being ethical is a distortion. Only by combining the two is it possible. And therefore they have to be overarching and go beyond the letter of the law, and it has to be something that is one of the major focuses of our lives. To be nicer to people, to be more ethical, to be more sensitive, to pay more attention. Those are major issues. And just like we work on our Avodas Hashem, or we should work on our Avodas Hashem, we have to train ourselves also to work on our sensitivity to our fellow man. And there are a lot of human frailties that exist in both areas. In the area of Avodas Hashem, there are certainly a lot of human frailties that try to take us in different directions. But there also there's the ego, and there's kina, and there's you want to put yourself on top of somebody else, and all those are things that you have to try to combat and to work on. If you want to become a more perfect person and a more perfect Jew. So when it comes to the Yisurim, certainly you have to be careful. The Yisur of Lashon Hara and the Yisur of Mimabim Kechavero, those are Yisurim. But beyond that, simply the basic ethical sensitivity, the morality, and to simply to be a better person, is something which is a basic religious category. And if one works on that, and one simply becomes a better person, then one will also notice that he's able to be somebody who's Makad Hashem Shemayim. People respect him. Even people who are not religious respect him. People that are not religious realize that there's something that, if you're Makayim all the Melachos on Shabbos, someone who's not religious won't necessarily respect you. If somebody who's a good person, who's a sensitive person, who because he's a firm person is a sensitive person, that's somebody that everybody respects. And that creates a lot of Kiddush Hashem. And it bridges the gap that exists between Datim and Chilonim. And it gives them a sense that they also can connect to a certain extent to Torah Hashem, because that's what Torah Hashem means. So the importance, I think, of being aware of the ethical moment and how important and critical it is to Yadus in our generation was all the more important. Now, for thousands of years, when there was no chilonim before the Askala, it was simply a question of being over Hashem, it was important then also. But now that there are so many people who are chilonim, who view themselves, I'm talking about the ideological chilonim, who are humanistic and who are leftist and who are ethical and who are, and they see people who represent Yadus, who's the way they treat their fellow man is really terrible. That really creates a serious chil Hashem and a serious rift within the Jewish community. And therefore, within our particular context, the importance of, I think in general, the importance of that we should feel that we have a shlichut. There are things that we can do. Not every one of you probably will be, a Rashka Mahag. There are a few people that will be. I probably won't be either. But everybody has to know, what can I do? What can I contribute? And how can I contribute? In what way? And everybody can contribute. Wherever they are. If you're a doctor, a firm doctor who is sensitive, who helps everybody, people see it. No matter what you do, no matter what field you want to go into. And you can mekarshen shemayim to Jews, to non-Jews, it makes no difference. And all that's being demanded is that simply you follow what the Torah demands. The Torah demands not only being the word of God in the religious sense to this world, but also being the ethical moment to this world as well.